Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
One is Mark and John's the other. They're just friends. They are not lovers. It's two old queens. It's two old queens. They're just sassy, not that mean. Two old queens. It's two old queens. Now shut up.
Hello.
Welcome to Two Old Queens. I'm John Flynn.
I'm Mark Rennie.
Mark, I am so excited about our guest this week. Please let everyone know who's joining us.
He's a writer, actor, director whose work you've seen on NBC, Netflix, Hulu, Comedy Central, and he co-wrote and co-starred in a segment of the movie Scare Package, which you can see on Shudder. It's Frank Garcia Hale.
Yay! Hello!
Whoa!
Coming in hot!
Almost as if you skydived in.
That's true.
Frank, are you a fan of the beach? Do you go to the beach?
Only recently have I become a fan of it. I was not a fan of it growing up. I was an indoor kid and like very gothy, like angry, you know, being like, I'm not going. That's stupid. And
the Lost Boys were goths at the beach.
Yeah, that's true. And that's one of my favorite movies. That's one of my favorite movies too, is Lost Boys. So I for a long time too, I just didn't swim. Not to get into it. Traumatic experience happened to me. I was bullied in school. And so it kept me from doing it. But I ended up getting back into swimming, but I was like pools only. And then just recently, because moving to LA the past 4 years, I was like, hey, actually the beach is nice. And it's actually a nice accessible distraction. Yeah, it's actually good. I actually really enjoy it now.
Do you go in the water? Will you swim in the ocean? You will.
Yeah. I mean, not swim in the ocean, but I go in the water.
You don't like swim out. I have to be in like, I'll do it. I'll do it. But it is scary, but it's fun, but it's scary.
Are people pushing you to do it? Or it's like,
I'm pushing myself.
Gotcha.
Go, Mark, go. Yeah.
You came out here. Now do it. Do it, Mark.
I'm not that great of a swimmer, so I don't have the bravery to, I get very overwhelmed. The ocean terrifies me in general, as far as like what lies beneath it, like what lives inside of it, and all the fact that people are always thinking about space, but there are parts of the ocean we don't know about. So that terrifies
me. That is really the final.
Sure. It's just seaweed caressing your ankle. Sure. How do we know though? How do we know?
I don't like to swim in the ocean, but I like to like kind of like go out to the waves and, you know, just be one very right. hippy dippy.
Be humbled by nature.
Isn't it nice though? Yeah. I was just talking about this today with somebody. It's like, it's the one thing, I'm sure there's more than one, but it's one of the things that every human has always done. Like ever since there's been humans, we've been swimming in the ocean. And there's something nice about that. There's something primal. It's a primal recreational activity.
Yeah. I also did mushrooms once and looked out to the ocean, and it was a very profound experience for me.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah. Did you have a takeaway? Anything
else? Yes, I did. Well, it was in tandem with another mushroom trip I had in Georgia.
Seeing a pattern. Okay.
Gotcha, okay. In a field. Yeah. I don't do it that often, but enough. But I had like realized like, oh yeah, we're part of this. Like, of course, like everybody on a mushroom trip is very basic, but just saying like, oh, we're part of this earth and this is only like one stop. And when we pass on, we become part of earth and then we become part of the stars and the space. Like it's all, we all like, it's like we're recycled constantly, but it's all like, we're all one.
Most people have to watch the movie Babel to get that insight, but not you.
You.
There you go.
Couple mushrooms.
Now, John, you don't like the beach. That's right.
I don't like direct sunlight is the problem. But I don't mind the beach.
So you like the beach.
The beach I'm fine with. I mean,
you're fine with it.
I'm fine with the beach. Growing up, I grew up in New Jersey near the shore, and my grandparents were members of this beach club. So it was like a private beach that we got to go to, but all the other kids my age were sort of very bratty. I know it was very fancy. Bruce Springsteen also was a member of our beach club.
Wow. that seems like a type for him. Seems like a sellout. The boss is a member of an exclusive beach club.
He can't just go to a public beach. Are you kidding me? Come on.
Wear hat and sunglasses. Mob, one knows. Yeah. Unless he's wearing like jeans with like a handkerchief in the back still.
Oh, the back,
like,
right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Can I get you a drink, John?
Well, yes, Mr. Springsteen. Yeah. So I don't know. I just don't like my childhood experiences going to the beach were not fun or enjoyable. Also, I am incredibly pale. I get sunburned very easily and exhausted and overheated. So, you know, overall, I avoid the beach.
So not a fan is what I'm hearing.
That is correct. Not a fan.
Wow. Brutal.
Yeah, hot take. Sorry, beach. I'm sure you'll be fine.
What about like beach at night? You guys ever gone to the beach at night? Had a bonfire, perhaps?
Yeah.
Never done that, but I've been at night.
That's nicer. There's no pressure to go in the water. It's not so much sun. It's just sort of like chill, hang out. So yeah, beach at night. Pro. Daytime beach, nay.
Frank, where did you grow up? Was it Georgia?
No, I grew up in Texas.
Oh, Gulf of Mexico?
No, I mean, I was born in Houston, but I lived primarily like south of Dallas in a very small Texas town called Ennis, Texas. And if you've ever watched Friday Night Lights or Varsity Blues, it's very much that environment. So you know why I moved all the way the fuck to New York.
So you were a goth in like a football town?
Yeah.
Was there a good goth community?
Oh, no, because like, small town Texas goth without access to like real goth music, kind of, you know, like we were like, if you're not old enough to go to Dallas to the actual goth clubs or anything like that, it's like the third or fourth tier goth, where it's like you're listening to like basically new metal or like kind of like
Puddle
metal
of
not so much of that, but
The Cult.
The Cult, like that kind of like started, but that was a little bit closer after the fact when you listen to these other bands that were adjacent and they're like, oh, I like these bands like Sisters of Mercy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you're like, okay. And then you start to get into it. And then you realize The Cure has earlier albums that are super dark. And then you get really into The Cure and, you know, you start painting your nails and it's just like, it's a whole, and so it doesn't really fly.
But in some ways, that's like better because I grew up in San Jose where we had goths, but like, who cares? You know what I mean? Like San Jose, like had a bunch of everybody. It was like pretty accepting. So like you weren't actually like striking a pose against anybody.
Yeah. But I wasn't like full on, like full blown goth. It was like alternative, like indie, like goth kid. You know what I mean? Like it was like my every week would be a different kind of fashion choice depending on what band I was in that week.
Oh, it's too bad you didn't have an Instagram account back then is what I'm hearing.
I am thrilled that social media did not exist. I mean, like when I was in high school, it just started, like the internet, we had dial-up, like I think my senior year is when we got the internet, and I was like on message boards and stuff, but like I am so happy I was a very moody. I mean, I still am a moody person, but like I was a very moody teenager. And I had, yeah, I'm thrilled.
Well, you know, speaking of a time before Instagram,
okay,
perhaps yeah, the early 90s,
maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Today we're talking about a film pre-internet called Point Break. John, what's the deal with Point Break?
Mark, let me tell you the deal with Point Break. It was directed by Catherine Bigelow, written by Peter Iliff. The film's title refers to the surfing term Point Break, where a wave breaks as it hits a point of land jutting out from the coastline. So that's where that comes from. And after a string of bizarre bank robberies in Southern California, federal agent Johnny Utah infiltrates a suspected gang. But this is no ordinary group of robbers. They're surfers, led by the charismatic Bodie. But when Utah falls in love with a female surfer who's close to the gang, it complicates his sense of duty. It stars Patrick Swayze, Keanu Reeves, Lori Petty, and Gary Busey. It was released on July 12th, 1991, and went on to make $83.5 million off a budget of $24 million. Roger Ebert gave the film 3.5 stars, writing, "Bigelow is interested in the ways her characters live dangerously for philosophical reasons. They aren't men of action, but men of thought who choose action as a way of expressing their beliefs." Owen Gleiberman of Entertainment Weekly gave the film a C+ and wrote, "Point Break makes those of us who don't spend our lives searching for the ultimate physical rush feel like second-class citizens." And Rolling Stone called Point Break the greatest female gaze action movie ever, citing the bodies of Reeves and Swayze, calling it a wet Western. And in 2015, there was a remake of the film, also titled Point Break, was released, but received mostly negative reviews. And that is the deal with Point Break.
So, Frank, we asked you to pick a movie, and you chose Point Break. Why Point Break?
It was one of my favorite movies, or it is one of my favorite movies, growing up. And it's an action movie without being fully action. It doesn't feel like, I think because of like what that just said, the female gaze, that it kind of like, it still has those kind of bro-y action elements, but it's done in like, again, like a philosophical way. And I felt like that spoke to me more because like one of my other favorite films of hers is Near Dark, which is a vampire movie. And it kind of has that same feeling to it where it's like, it takes a, like a kind of macho genre, but then it gives it, you know, a little bit of a female edge that I personally like a lot. I don't know if I'm explaining that well. I'm not at all.
You just did. You're a great job.
Yeah. But yeah, it's just one of those movies that I've just always loved. It just was, it's fun. And also like, it's one of my wife's favorite movies too, you know, so.
Will you be disappointed if your child like hates Point Break? Like, is that the act of rebellion?
No.
They prefer the remake?
I am setting myself up just to be like, she's not going to like anything that I like. I'm prepared for it.
How many times have you seen it, do you think?
I probably watch it at least 2 or 3 times a year.
Wow.
Around any particular holiday or?
No. I think it's just kind of like whenever it just like, it's like whenever one of those movies that just kind of like, if I just am in the mood for it, I think I'm going to watch this.
Great.
Put aside a few hours for Point Break. Nice.
Yeah, exactly. That's something I always forget though, that it's 2 hours and I'm like, oh wait. Yeah. I'm high right now. I'm about to fall asleep. I don't know if it's going to work
out. And it's so transportive. The like synthy music is like so chill too.
Yeah.
John, what's your history with Point Break?
I had not seen it before yesterday. I of course had heard it and knew somewhat it somewhat has a jokey reputation, but also sort of like has like a decent reputation. And I knew of it because there was many years ago in New York, some people did a show called Point Break Live, where which I didn't see, but I heard tell of it, where whoever played the Keanu Reeves part was someone picked from the audience to play his part every night. So it was a different actor each night in that role. Was sort of the gimmick of it.
I auditioned for the Gary Busey role when that was.
That's a great part.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
But so last night was the first time I saw it. I loved it. I thought it was so funny.
Wow.
So ridiculous. I like everything that was ridiculous about it was where this was like, yes, that criticism or that comment is correct. And yet I'm so on board. It's so ridiculous. It's so absurd. It looks beautiful. The action sequences are great. That chase sequence,
I was, first of all, I was like, I can't believe this is still going on. And it was like not even halfway through that chase sequence.
The foot chase one, like that one?
The foot one, yeah, where they're just running through every backyard they had access to.
Through all the doors.
I thought the action sequences all look great. I thought it was like a little long and it sort of ends 4 or 5 times. But overall, even what was absurd about it, I thought was fun. This is a movie I definitely, I don't know if I'll watch it 3 times a year here on out, but I definitely will be watching it again.
To kick off summer, maybe?
Maybe, yeah. How about you, Mark? What is your history with Point Break?
I remember it being out, and I remember at the time it came out, like everyone was like, oh my God, the skydiving scene. We've never seen skydiving like this before. And even just that shot, what does he say when he before he jumps out of the plane? Like, not you.
Adios amigos or something.
Adios amigos, yeah. Something like that. I remember that shot specifically. It was like burned in my brain. Like, he really jumped out the plane, Patrick Swayze. Way before Tom Cruise ever did such a thing.
Sure.
Yeah. But I probably hadn't seen it in 20 years. And I thought like, oh, I put it on like a Sunday afternoon at 4. It's warm out. This is gonna be, I might be sleepy, but sure. I wasn't. I was enthralled the entire time. It's so fun. The action scenes are great. I love that it's all about this weird psychosexual romance between Bodhi and Johnny Utah. It's all about their like power sub dom dominant, who's in control. So all that is great. And like Lori Petty's always a welcome presence. She's always fun.
Yeah.
And I wish Kathryn Bigelow would go back to doing just straight ahead action movies. Now she's doing like political thrillers, but I wish she'd just do another like straight ahead like action movie again because she's so good at them.
Yeah. And anytime it gets into political thriller territory, I get a little nervous because I'm like, what are your politics exactly? Anytime, you know, like I like always hope that it's like, please don't turn out to be conservative or weird, you know? Like,
right. Oh, written by John Milius. That can't be good. Well, Frank, as you may or may not know, but I suspect you do, we are looking for the gayest movies ever, and we have a complex and Byzantine scoring system with which to judge them. So we're going to go through a ton of categories, and at one point, you are going to come up with a category, and it will be added to the wheel. Do you know what that means? Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Anyways, it'll make sense when we get to it. Anyways, this is our current top 5 gayest movies ever. This is the current top 5. In 5th place, with an 89.03%, The Wizard of Oz. In 4th, with an 89.70%, The Apple. In 3rd place, with an 89.81%, The Rocky Horror Picture Show. In 2nd place, with a 92.99%, The Bride of Frankenstein. And number 1, with a 94.83%, Female Trouble. And I will say, maybe the top ranked pure action movie...
Uh-huh.
Say Conan the Barbarian is like an action movie. I guess so, right?
I guess so. It's like a fantasy action.
That's like an 81.73 in 9th place.
Okay.
So and Frank Lost Boys action at the beach-ish horror action, 85.19 at 7th place.
Okay. So Frank, if you had to guess now, how well do you think Point Break is gonna do?
Not too great. I mean, like, I think it'll do okay. I think there are some categories. I am a fan of this podcast, and I think that there are some categories it'll score well in. But for the most part, I don't think it'll crack the top 10. I'm trying to remember how many episodes you have, but like, I don't think it'll probably crack maybe even the top 20.
All right, top 20 is Mulholland Drive is number 20 with a 74.80 right now.
Great episode too, by the way. I really like that one. Yeah.
Well, let's get into it. There's only one way to find out, and that's to find out.
Forward.
Forward is the only way. We sound just like Bodhi. So the first group of categories are the canon categories. So for each of these, we're all going to give it a score between 0 and 100. Then we'll take the average of all 3 of our scores. So... the first category, Frank, how would you score Point Break on a scale of 0 to 100 in actual gay characters?
Very low. I would say probably like actually gay characters. It's implied at one point that the lady who's running the computer was like where she commented on Lori Petty's character.
Oh, right.
And so like it's only implied. So I would say maybe a 10.
But what about Johnny and Bodhi? Like they have a whole like psychosexual homoerotic
Then that is energy. Like an 80. Yeah, that is an 80. I think like an 80 or 90, but I thought you meant like actual gay characters.
That is what we said, so it's
that is what we said, but I just feel like we would be remiss not to mention how the whole thing is about, you know, Johnny pursuing Bodhi, but then at the flips and then Bodhi's pursuing him, and it's all about who's gonna like dominate the other at the end.
Yeah, as far as intention goes, I mean, like, as are the themes, the underlying themes, it's definitely, I would say, like, an 80 or 90. I'm going to go with 90 for that.
And I convinced you to go from 10 to 90. 10 to 90.
Wow. Well, because, yeah, because if you're talking about the underlying themes, then that's completely different than, you know, actually having representation on screen, you know?
Sure.
A 90.
I mean, I think if it were made now, probably everyone would just call themselves pansexual.
I mean, it was made 7 years ago and they did nothing like that. So I do not trust Hollywood to do really right that now.
I think if Catherine Bigelow made it now, then that's what would happen.
Maybe. It'd probably be about like a drug cartel, like connected to a congressman, you know, it'd be like a high level thing.
And then all that subtext would just be completely removed. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think their characters, I mean, I think I'm not going to give it 90, but I think there's definitely like gayness is there. It's sort of in the water, as it were, in the ocean.
Churning.
But no one really, really comes out. Although also I think we could say that Lori Petty, there's something very, like they made her very gender neutral.
Yeah.
I'll go 65.
65. You guys are all nuts. I'm giving it a 50.
Well, because then now you got me in my head.
Good.
That's where he wants you. That's exactly where he wants
you. You're doing great. And remember, none of this matters. Given an average of 68.33. Pretty good. But also, it is Point Break. You know? Does that a compelling argument?
What does that
not
mean?
At all.
I
said
don't understand
nothing.
What that argument is.
I mean, I think when people think Point Break, they do. It's almost as if the volleyball scene from Top Gun was an entire movie. All right. Our next category, drag queen inspiration. Could a drag queen watch Point Break and come away with a whole book of ideas? A lot of wetsuits.
I think because of the wetsuits, one thing I was thinking is like a drag queen who maybe had a train that could flip up and be like a wave coming over them.
Oh, the wave
would be really fun.
That would
be
crush.
A fun look. It would definitely.
The ex-president's theme too.
I think so.
The masks, sure.
Yeah.
I was really intrigued by, at one point, Lori Petty wears this like baby blue velvet cocktail dress.
Yeah.
But, like, at
yeah.
the beach.
Right.
For the beach party, yeah.
Yeah.
That is not what, all of us, all the whole movie, she's been pretty like tomboyish, wearing like, you know, t-shirts and like,
right.
But now she's wearing a cocktail dress? That came out of nowhere. But I think she was probably wearing like boots or was barefoot or something, you know, dressing it down.
Sure, sure.
Yeah. Maybe even War Child's gang a little bit.
Yeah. War Child. But there's not a ton of like crazy, like, look. It all looks pretty much like, yeah, that's what people were wearing at the beach in the time.
Right.
Yeah.
I think I had some of Gary Busey's shirts, like with those weird like patterns, you know?
Yeah.
I think
he had the most 1991 t-shirt ever, that weird aqua colored one that had different, that was insane. That was such a time capsule. Like that fashion did not evolve. It stayed in that moment and went nowhere.
But I feel it's back now.
Perhaps.
Amongst the youth. Yeah.
Amongst the youth. Not in this Zoom.
Ironically, no.
Yeah. Well, people our age aren't bringing back anything, John. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At best, they're taking it out of the closet, but yeah.
Exactly. So what do you want to give this for drag queen inspiration?
I'm going to go, now I'm in my head, 30%.
30? No, I think that's fine. Yeah, 30.
Yeah, I was going to go 33.
33. Y'all go 30 as well, given an average of 31, which is about 12 points higher than I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Not bad.
Okay.
All right. Next category, gay icons. Are there any gay icons in this movie?
I mean, there's no 100%, but you got like Lori Petty.
League of Her Own. Tank Her Girl. Own,
yeah. Tank Girl. You got Patrick Swayze with the two Wong Fu and the dirty dancing of it all.
The ghost.
The ghost, yes.
The ghost.
The ghost. Who
what
else?
Do we think? Was it James LaGrosse in something? Oh, he's in Drugstore Cowboy.
Right. You got Lee Turgeson, who's in Oz.
True.
Right.
Catherine Bigelow, she was married to James Cameron and inspired that
the gays love
joke by Tina Fey and Amy Poehler.
What was that joke?
Something about any woman knows about like being with an asshole, it's Catherine Bigelow. I am not doing it. Just Google it. I don't remember it exactly, so it won't be funny.
Okay, great. Yeah, but there's no like, I mean, like Keanu Reeves also for My Own Private Idaho. Like they've got some. But none
Anthony
of
Anthony Kiedis were Red Hot Chili Peppers a big deal in New Jersey? I feel like they probably weren't.
They were. I don't think they were as big as probably California.
I mean, they are a Californication.
Exactly. But they were a big
band. And
they're
kind of bro-y.
They were, but they also were like homoerotic. I mean, they were like the, socks over their dicks. Mm-hmm. The socks.
Right.
Under the bridge.
Yeah, yeah, Blood, Sugar, Sex, Magic era where they're like Give It Away, like that video. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of thrusting crotches.
Yeah.
I always watched their, I never listened to their music, but when their videos came on, I'm like, oh, there's going to be like half naked guys. I'll watch this.
Yeah.
Right.
Put it on mute.
Play an erasure.
Look a little trashy. Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you want to give this for gay icons?
I give this, I think I might go 40.
40. Unfortunately. Yeah. Oh, well, there is a song by Concrete Blonde.
Right.
Sure.
Joey. They have a whole album about vampires.
Right. Oh, Joey's in this movie?
No, I'm just saying they also have the song Joey, which is from an album called Bloodletting, which is all about vampires. Did you not follow my train of thought?
I think I missed a step, but I think you caught up, but that's okay. I'll give this a 27.
Public Image Limited, they're kind of gay.
Kind of.
LA Guns, not gay.
Not at all.
No.
Not at all.
Guns, no thank you.
No thank you. 27. I'll give it a 30. Patrick Swayze. Who doesn't like Patrick Swayze? Roadhouse. He's always playing like the philosophical badass.
Yeah.
Who's the new philosophical? Is there one? I feel like we don't have action stars like this anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something very McConaughey about his performance. I thought like he would be, he would have replaced him for the tour, as it were.
Right.
But McConaughey's like too jokey. Like he does, I believe
he doesn't
it.
Do a lot of action stuff.
Right. But I also believe like Patrick Swayze when he says like that he is like spiritual. You know, you believe that. McConaughey feels like he wants to sell you like an acai berry like drink or something. I don't trust him. It feels too like capitalist like or something. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I can't think of a spiritual action star.
Maybe Keanu Reeves has become that.
I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so.
Well, it got a 32.33 in gay icons. All right. Our neck, which is 9 points lower than Eat, Pray, Love, you know, Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
All right. Our next category, the male gaze. How horny is the camera for the male form?
I mean, it's pretty horny. Good.
It's pretty constant.
Yeah.
Keanu Reeves in a black shirt in the rain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the wetsuits. So many great looking butts.
All the times they just had no shirt on. There's a lot of that.
Everyone looks hot. You see Keanu naked in bed.
Yeah.
That's right.
Very fun.
That must have been a fun dance set.
Even when the guy's like skydiving, like his shirt goes up and you see his like abs. I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is wild.
We get it.
They're giving us like hot dudes in all the elements. That's a real cornucopia. True. Hornucopia?
We're trading.
Think about it.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. I'm mailing it to myself. It's gonna work.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Also, there's a whole point about like the incriminating like butt, the incriminating tan line. Like that's plot element. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
I thought that was fun. Thank you, Catherine Bigelow. She gets it.
Finally. Yeah, I feel like
John McTiernan wouldn't do that.
I feel like this is just. I think it's horny for all formies. I think like. Because you have that weird scene with the lady who's like naked and
in the shower.
Just the shower.
We'll get to her in a second. Yeah. I love her.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, definitely.
And so we want to give this for the male. There's also like a shot of a bare chest when they're like getting ready for that first robbery.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Apropos, I guess letting you know, like these are surfers.
With a chest like that, he's got to be a surfer.
the way that they put those like elements together of especially when she's like it looks like you've seen a ghost and then her being like him being like wait a minute thinking about what that's how he puts it together like these are the people I would say
and they have to remind you by showing the flashback to like they're exactly. Like ghosts.
Somebody at the studio was definitely like you gotta put that in because I didn't remember.
I don't know, people aren't gonna
we're
get
gonna
it.
Lose people.
Yeah.
You think he does that anytime anyone mentioned a ghost later on? Like, have you seen Ghostbusters? You know,
like, just like triggers him. Yeah. I guess, are we giving a rating? Or
give it a rating for the male gaze.
I would say 80.
80.
I'm going to go 84.
84. I mean, I think it's pretty dang high. I think it's even higher than... It's one of the highest we've had maybe since the Beastmaster. So I think it's even more than the Beastmaster. I think that it's done with like intention. So
you
I'm going to
give
that's
it... intentional on the Beastmaster?
No, no, no. I mean, like, she does more. It's not just they happen to be wearing a loincloth, but the way it's like shot is like you could tell.
Sure.
As opposed to just a wardrobe choice. So I'm going to give it a 90. Giving it an 85, which is indeed 1 point lower than the Beastmaster. John gave a 93 to the Beastmaster. Tells you how off he is.
Yep.
I'm just having fun, John. Relax. All right. Next category. Entrances with pizzazz. Any entrances with pizzazz?
There's a ton in here. All the bank robbery stuff.
Yeah. Bodhi has a great entrance.
The first time we meet
Slow-mo Bodhi, surfing. Like, slow motion surfing.
Or even just Keanu's entrance at the beginning. Is like in the rain is like very dramatic.
Yeah, it's like a Paul Abdul video. Remember Rush Rush?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
He looked great in that. Does this make you want, like, they in some ways it makes to me is like, oh, this makes surfing look easy. Like they're just standing. You know what I mean?
Make like, me
and
think
I know
like,
it
oh,
is.
I
like,
would like to take
I bet
a
I could
class.
Figure this out.
I bet it,
It looks so like, because it's all slow motion and like sunsets, it's all like sun-kissed. You're like, oh, it looks so peaceful and charming. But meanwhile, you're like getting your ass kicked every 30 seconds.
We talked about the naked lady with a knife.
Yeah, she is a great entrance. Yeah. Suddenly stabbing someone while you're naked. Yeah. That's a lot pretty pizzazzy.
The dog that gets thrown. That's a great entrance.
There we go. It's another one.
Also bursting into all those people's rooms when they're running into everyone's apartment. We're like running through closed glass doors, sliding glass doors. That's wild. I don't. Are you cops allowed to do that? I wouldn't think so.
I mean, they do.
They must do it though, right? I'm going to file a claim.
I just thought that anyone would just have that endurance to go that long, which is what was so funny about it to me. Was that part of it was, I thought it was great, but the length of it just made me laugh.
Well, 100% pure adjenaline.
I guess if you're like a surfer, then you're like you're in that much
this
shape.
This is nothing.
So it makes sense. Yeah.
They're in good shape.
This was like a couple of comedians. It would not last half a block before they both passed out.
And their Converse and flannel shirts.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Let me just wrap it around my waist here.
Yeah.
So I'm a little hot.
So what do you want to give this for entrances with pizzazz?
I'm going to give this 85.
85.
I'm going to go 90. I think the Bodhi on the wave is just so much.
Yeah. It's like a chill pizzazz,
mm-hmm.
which would be a great like album.
Chill
you
pizzazz.
You know, like what's those cool moods? What are those albums? Pure Moods.
Pure Moods. Those? Yeah. A lot of Enya. And,
Chill pizzazz. 3. All right. Here we go. Our next category, Hell on Heels, feisty women. Is there one feisty woman in this movie? Just one, maybe?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That naked woman from who kicks Keanu's ass. It's so cool. I
you
love she's just
Lori
going
Petty
fucking
too.
Wild.
Oh, Lori Petty too. Especially. There's also someone in the cast list that's just credited as Fierce Woman. And I don't know if that was the showery naked woman, but there's a role.
She was a fierce woman. I mean, she fits the bill.
Mm-hmm.
Well, even the lady who was looking up the information for him at the computer, I mean, she was kind of sassy. I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
You know she wouldn't take guff, so I don't.
Right, yeah. She doesn't have time for their bullshit.
No.
Yeah.
No, I mean, not the women are all pretty. There's not a lot of just shrinking violets in this movie at all.
And then they're also just... Twice the two groups of guys like use their own like women friends as like hostages or negotiate. Like, where's the loyalty?
It's to the waves, man.
Oh, I see.
To the
Mother
waves.
Nature, though.
Mm-hmm.
Is Mother Nature Hell on Heels? The 50,
like to,
the 50 year it? Storm? Is
right,
that
right,
a
right.
Hell on Heels?
Correct. The way she gives a beating to Keanu, Johnny, you know, when he's trying to learn how to surf.
Yeah.
Right.
I would just wish she had a little more agency towards the end, probably, instead of just being another, I'm a hostage, rescue me.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
even that, like within that shot, she was like angry and like didn't feel like she was this weak, shrinking violet. Like you had a sense of like, she might kick her ass out of, like, she might kick her way out of this situation.
The story won't let her, but she
but the script won't let her, but we believe it is possible.
And that's good enough.
Yeah. And the guy
it's a step forward.
The guy from Oz. The guy from Oz and Wayne's World was enjoying it a little too much with the
right, he was gross.
Yeah.
Like, why are you friends with like a psycho?
Yeah.
I mean,
bank robbers haven't really thought it through.
Right. So what do you want to give it for Hell on Heels?
I'm going to give it 40.
40.
I'm going to go 88. I think all the women are pretty, pretty aggressive, not taking it.
Yeah. And that fierce woman is my favorite. I mean, she might be one of the fiercest women we've ever had. I think she would kick the Wicked Witch of the West ass. I'll go that far.
Well, all right, Mark.
I am failing this.
What are you talking about? You're doing great. Give an average of 71, which is about 48 points higher than Waiting for Guffman. Mm. All right. Our next category, Macabre. How macabre is Point Break? It is. I forgot how like grisly violent it was.
Yeah.
I love that, though. It's so fun.
Yeah, that whole raiding scene.
That house raid is so good.
It's, yeah, very violent.
I love, like, the noise of, like, the lawnmower. Like, oh, we didn't plan on that, but now we can't hear anything.
Right. I mean, holding Lord Petty hostage is pretty macabre.
Yeah.
Having beer with your Cheerios?
Sure.
That feels macabre.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Also, someone just snapping at the mere mention of Vietnam.
Yeah.
Which, honey, were you in Vietnam? You show your fucking face! Like, whoa!
Okay.
It's a lot.
That weird game of chicken they play with the parachutes?
Right.
Yeah.
That's kind of maybe macabre.
Also, like, Anthony Kiedis gets his foot blown off. There's, like, a headshot. Guy gets blown right through the brain. And then, like, pushing the lawnmower fight.
Yeah.
Yeah, almost pushing their face into it.
Some really grisly action. A lot of people dying in this movie.
10 people, so in fact.
That's a high death
count. Oh.
Yeah.
Also, surfing bullies.
Yeah. IMDb does. Yeah.
That seems pretty high.
Does for a surfing movie? That's like
more than Auntie May, like, for sure. Like,
definitely.
Only one. The guy falling off the mountain, right?
That we see. Yeah.
That we see. Yeah. So, how macabre is this?
I mean, based off of all that you said, at first I thought it wasn't at all, but now that we're going through it, I'm like, oh yeah, I would say 75.
75.
Yeah, it's tough because it does have that golden sunlight. Yeah. I'll go 67.
But it's like the darkness beneath the rays. You know, you ever look beneath, man?
I'm gonna start doing it now.
Please. I'll give it a 70. Give it an average of 70.67, which is 50 points higher than Eat, Pray, Love. All right, our next category. I think it'll do well here. Dramatic lighting.
Very.
There's a ton of it.
Yeah.
Very. All the surfing.
The surfing, the sunrises, the sunsets. They're setting that one car on fire when they're at the gas station.
Right.
That was crazy. I love that.
Yeah.
Just the image. There's that slow motion image of a guy dressed as Reagan in a tuxedo using like a gas pump as a flamethrower. Like, oh, that is such a beautiful image. It's so like anarchic.
Yeah.
It's great.
I think I remember at the time that this movie came out that there was some copycat who did like that, and they like were blaming the movie for that person doing that. I just remember seeing that on the news. And being like, I got to see this movie.
Right?
I need inspiration in my life.
Yeah.
Inspired marketing.
Mm-hmm. But yeah,
there's also scene in the bank. It has a classic like early 90s look where it's like super, it's daytime, but it's like super smoky. And there's like indirect like white lighting from the side. It's like a total like 90s vibe there.
That's one of my favorite lighting choices in the 80s and 90s. Like a similar shot to that is when it's only being lit by the moonlight coming through a window and it's very hazy.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They don't do that. Everything's overlit now because it's HD. You got to have soft lighting everywhere. God forbid there be shadows.
The post-coital kind of caressing, even that looks very like it had a very velvety tone to it.
Yeah.
A morning after filter on the light. Sure.
Just all that surfing stuff. What's that guy who does those ski movies? Like Warren, what's his? They always like release his like skiing movies, like Warren Spectres. That is not his name, no. But he'll do like a million like slow motion like ski sport movies. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
You guys I don't.
I don't.
Didn't realize you're such a big ski sporting movie guy.
I don't watch them, but
clearly, because you don't know who's directing them.
Warren Miller. Warren Miller.
Okay.
He's done a lot of Warren Miller has done a ton of movies. They're all like slow motion things like The Color of Skiing,
The Color
Snow Riders,
The Color of Skiing,
Snow nice. Riders, like... Snow Riders 2, Endless Winter, Black Diamond Rush.
Wow.
And they're all like straight to video.
Huh.
Is Color of Skiing like a parody of The Color of Money and just like
I hope so. Oh, in the 50s he did more lighthearted ones called Anyone for Skiing? And and another one called Are Your Skis On Straight, which that sounds like one for us, John.
Yeah, it does.
My skis aren't even on straight, honey. So what do you want to give this for a dramatic lighting?
95.
I'll go 92.
92. Isn't it sad that like old movies look better than new movies visually, cinematography wise? I'm going to give it a 95 as well. Giving it a 94, which is almost the highest, if not for the Mulholland Drive, which has a 97.33. But it just kicked in the teeth of The Wizard of Oz. Eat shit, Dorothy. That only has an 86.67. All right. Our next category, vibrato.
So for this one, in addition to literal vibrato, we also mean anytime they take a moment, they give it sort of extra, zhuzh it up, more than the moment needs, but you like it.
All of it.
I mean,
you're just right. The name Johnny Utah.
Yeah.
Bodie.
John C. McGinley is like going for it.
Oh, yeah. He is.
He's so fun in this.
Oh, man. He's chewing up every scene he's in and just yelling. They're just like the sound person is probably just riding that dial, you know?
Tom Sizemore also like goes for it in his one scene.
Mm-hmm.
Very twitchy. Also, there's so much rain.
Yes.
When it rains, it pours.
The rain budget on this movie.
When one of my favorite scenes is when he is trying to call her after she finds out that he's an FBI agent and he's trying to leave a message and he's like, fuck, why can't I ever say what I mean? Like that scene was so like extra. So like this whole movie, from the entrance, every single scene is
Keanu has become a better actor over the years.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think he doesn't push as hard. Like he was like was really pushing here. I feel like he pushes hard, less now. And like we just like him when he's like cool, chill, laconic Keanu. That's enough.
Yeah. Bram Stoker's Dracula. I mean, like his performance in that is just all. Yeah.
Pushing. Great movie, though. I don't know why no one's brought that in. One of my favorites. That's one of my favorites. No one's brought it in. You seen that one, John?
I have seen that one. Yes.
Oh. So what do you want to give this for vibrato?
95.
Yeah, I'll go 93 because there's no actual singing.
What about Rat on the soundtrack?
That's on the soundtrack. No one in the movie is singing.
Wow. Harsh.
Round and round.
I remember someone like at school when I was like in elementary school, someone had like a Rat t-shirt and I was like, oh, that's scary. I was like intrigued.
I can't be in class with that person.
It was just like them in like a cave, looking like the band in a cave, and they looked like Rat with two T's. And then years later I bought the Dr. Feelgood album, loved it.
See, we can all change.
We can all blossom in our later years. It's got a 94.33 in vibrato, 2 points higher than the Ten Commandments.
All right,
another movie with a long-haired guru.
Mm-hmm.
All right, our next category, footwork.
There's a lot of footwork. They're very aggressive walk and talks throughout this movie.
That opening one was so good. Like all the camera, the whip pans, like all that choreography was crazy. So exciting.
That chase scene, of course.
Yeah. Real quick, as actors, I'm going to ask you this, because as actors, do you ever get nervous seeing scenes like that? Because you think about the day, about like how much rehearsal has to go into that, and how if you mess up one little thing, you have to just everybody... just like is angry.
Right, it has to go back. Like 30 actors have to go back.
Yeah.
It's probably like the most unnerving for the people who just are in the background. It's like, if I drop this tray at this moment.
Yeah.
The most acting I've done has been UCB comedy videos, so no.
That counts, Mark.
Okay.
Come on.
The pressure we were under.
The stakes couldn't be higher.
That great house raid, skydiving tricks, what we call that, footwork?
Yeah.
Choreography. We're all gonna form a circle, everybody.
Yeah.
You can't just improvise that. Everyone, we're forming a, we're doing the
you
circle.
You can't improvise
again.
A circle. No.
That'd no. Be they make it look easy, but I'm sure it's very difficult.
I'm sure.
Anthony Kiedis getting shot in the foot.
That's footwork. That's his true. Foot's going to need work.
That's yep. Because he didn't make it to any of the training days. So they're like, all right, well, you have to get out of the fight scene first.
You're done.
He's got a hard out. He's got to go record.
We got to record Higher Love, man.
Flea's here to pick him up. He's got to work on Back to the Future, too.
Oh, yeah. Maybe we should do a series on the films of the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
The ones that they appear.
John Frusciante been in anything? Nobody knows.
No one knows.
Into heroin. Oops.
Okay. Oh. Okay. Now you're opium shaming.
Yes. Oh, no. I'm canceled. Okay.
Also, just get hopping up on the surfboard. Yeah, she's surfing. Talking about you got to land both feet at the same time.
Sure. And you're also, that's you're pretty much steering with your feet.
I believe that's true.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 90.
Should we go surfing, John? Should we take surfing lessons?
Sure. That'd be great.
I don't believe you. I'm down, but I don't think you are.
I'll do it.
Yeah, right.
Whoa. You're really throwing it down.
Did I step into something here? What?
Yeah, you did.
You're going to be videotaping it just to prove to everyone that we did it. I will give it a 96. I think there's a ton of footwork in this.
For sure. I mean, just that foot chase alone, I'll give it a 95. Giving it a 93.67, which is 5 points lower than I, Tanya. But 70 points higher than Winning for Guffman. All right, our next category, spank bank deposits. Anything a gay person could put into their spank bank?
A ton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. A lot of nice butts, chest, arms.
Patrick Swayze with his shirt off a lot. You got Keanu Reeves with his shirt off a bunch.
Yeah, a lot of hot dudes everywhere you look.
You got Gary Busey if you want a little daddy action in there.
Did you want a little daddy action?
I don't mind.
He was good.
That was like
this
before
movie.
He looked crazy. Like he started as years went on, he looked a lot crazier. But here it's like the cusp of it, I felt.
Because he is a believable as like, oh, frustrated towards the end of his career, kind of a loose cannon, but
yeah,
grounded father figure at the same. Like he is very, I really liked him in this. I thought he was great.
Yeah, I agree.
A lot of hunks. The HPS on this movie is out of control. Hunks per second.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of beefcake being served
on a surfboard. So what do you want to give this for spank bank deposits?
I would give it, I'm going to give it 100.
100. Wow. Woo! You're not wrong. I was just thinking right before you said that, I was thinking like this would be a great double feature with the Lost Boys.
Yeah.
It's both like beachy actiony.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost, and you could like watch this like straight guys and gay guys could, you know, and everyone in between could watch the same movie and be getting very different things out of it.
Yeah.
But enjoyment nonetheless.
But everyone is having a great time.
Yeah, there's just a lot of like beautiful flesh and a lot of like sexy guys on stage. On screen. So I will go. Here's the one thing I was going to ding it for, but it's probably wrong, is that it feels like very much the same body type throughout, which makes sense.
Right.
It's like they're all surfers. So it's all this one type. And that makes sense. And that like they're into an activity that would definitely affect your body, you know, if you were a high level of it. So I will give it a 90 for that.
And that brings me to my issue with the reboot of Gossip Girl.
Okay.
Because the trailer has everyone is like gorgeous, but it's also a very diverse cast in terms of like sexuality and race and everything, but in terms of like body types, they're all like skinny models.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you're claiming to be like this progressive show, but why not take that progressiveness into the world of like body standards? Why does everyone have to be a skinny, beautiful, rail thin model type?
I mean, I think that's the next sort of frontier in diversity and casting, either I mean, like body types
has
or...
to happen now. What are we waiting for?
Sure.
I'll give this a 90. I'm giving it a 93.33, which is the highest in spank bank deposits we've had since Conan the Barbarian, which got an 87. That makes sense.
Okay.
But he was crucified to a tree.
Yeah. So which, who doesn't get hard when they see that?
All right, Frank, on a scale of 0 to 100, how likely are you to recommend Point Break to a gay person?
80%.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems about right. It's very fun. There is sort of, there's definitely stuff you can read on onto it if you want to, you know, about different relationships and what might be happening. But there's nothing gay essential about it. But I will also give it an 80 because I do think it's a really fun movie. There's so much to recommend about it.
There's nothing gay essential about it. Like Madonna's later work.
Exactly.
I also do think, like, because it does have almost like, it's much more interested in like the characters than like the plot of like, that the characters and their relationships are more the focus than like the machinations of like tracking down like this gang of bank robbers. I think that you could tell that's the Catherine Bigelow touch there. And then they're all shot. Everyone's shot so beautifully. And then there is the psychosexual power play undercurrent. So I'm going to give it, I think if like a gay person isn't a big fan of action movies, like check out Point Break. That might be like this and like Lost Boys would probably be like the two.
Mm-hmm.
Is Lost Boys an action movie? No, but there's a chase on the beach.
I think there's enough action in there. I mean, it's kind of like soft action, soft horror, you know?
Right. I keep saying like, I want to rewatch Lost Boys again, but then I keep saying, or should I just wait till Halloween?
It's tough. Save
it so it has like a punch, you know? I don't want to dilute them. But then it also is the good summer movie.
Yeah.
It's more of a summer movie than it's an August movie.
Like it's aged well, like it's old.
That, but it's like it straddles like summer and then the approaching Halloween.
Sure. Cusp.
You know what I mean? It's like a dusk.
A dusk. Well, Point Break has an 83.33 and likely to recommend to a gay person, which is 45 points higher than The Wedding Singer. All right, now we are into the wheel category.
So these are all categories that previous guests have brought in. We put them all in this wheel, which is an app on my phone. We're going to spin it four times. Whatever category pops up, that's how we'll judge it. And at the end of that, you will come up with a category, which we will add to the wheel.
Now it's all making sense, Frank. You get it, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. From Grease 2, You Gave It to Me.
You Gave It to Me. We haven't had this in a while. Would you say Point Break gave it to you?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think so. I feel like going into it, not having seen it, but like knowing some of the reputation, watching it last night, I was like, yep, this is what I expected. This has delivered on what people have said.
It's not too heavy. It's not too ponderous. It's still like funny.
Yeah.
Like all the characters, even though they're all kind of assholes.
Mm-hmm.
It's about surfing bank robbers. It delivers. And also, Fast and Furious, same movie. It's the same plot.
Oh, I was thinking it was more like Cruising.
I'm sure you were.
Undercover cop goes into, you know, tries to
subculture.
Subculture. Does he fall in love with people in the subculture? Who knows?
I don't know.
Sort of ambiguous
Did
relationships.
Paul Walker and Vin Diesel have a homoerotic tension in that? It's been years since I've seen the first one.
I've never seen the first one, so yeah.
It's not like this. It's not, yeah.
It's about family.
It's about family.
I will see every Fast and Furious movie in the theaters, though.
Oh, you too. I saw the last one in 4DX. It's like, I don't... That's the only way you have to...
That's a great choice for the... Yeah. Maybe I'll do that for F9.
Right. Yeah. Your chair's got to vibrate.
Do they spray water at you?
Yeah, it's sprayed because that's the one where they are in the ice where like... There's like mist going at you and you could smell like burnt rubber, which I'm not a fan of. And I'm like, okay, I don't love this part of it.
Right. But I don't know also post-COVID if we want mist being blown everywhere.
It's like droplets just going everywhere.
I don't know if we need more droplets.
This one guy, I guess, didn't know what 40X was, and he sat down like when the movie kind of started, or he went to go get popcorn, and he had one of those big like buckets of popcorn. And just from the corner of my eye, as it like did the first like jerk, I could just see popcorn flying in the corner of my eye. And I'm going, fuck.
You gotta time your snacking at these movies. They charge a surcharge. These are more expensive, these 40X, I assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But how often are you going to do it? You know,
come on.
They probably didn't do it for In the Heights. Although you think they could like give you
a little piragua. Yeah.
It's a stand-up thing where you put your feet in these shoes and then it just like makes you dance around.
That sounds like the red shoes. That's horrifying. That's a nightmare. Get me out of this thing. Frank, what do you want to give Point Break for? You gave it to me. Did you say?
Oh, out of, I'm sorry, scale of
0 to 100.
I would give it, I would say 95.
95. I'm going to say 100 because I feel like it lived up to what I was promised.
Wow, I was worried you're going to hate this one too. John, you never fail to surprise me. Just seeing you open your heart to these new experiences. It's so nice.
I've hated the first 102 movies we watched, but the last two I sort of enjoyed.
He's sort of like, it's got a 98.33 and you gave it to me. Oh, the last movie that had you gave it to me was The Man from U.N.C.L.E. and that only got an 84.
That was a fun movie.
That is a fun movie.
Okay, here we go. Non-traditional murder weapon.
Non-traditional murder weapon.
The lawnmower.
Oh.
A lawnmower. Yeah. Well, no one actually dies with it, though, unfortunately.
But they're going to maybe kill someone with it.
I mean, yeah. I guess the way that he throws the dog at, instead of attacking.
Throwing the dog? Yeah.
It's mostly like guns, though, right?
Yeah. It's mostly guns.
I mean, the fierce woman, what is she stabbing the cop with? Like shards of glass from like her shower door?
It's like a big knife she got from the kitchen.
Oh, a big knife.
You're right. But then also classic like,
shower murder knife.
Even like also when the war child, like that whole like scene where they're ganging up on Johnny Utah and they're even using like the surf, the thing that connects the surfboard to him.
Oh, the cable.
And like they're trying to choke. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
That's true.
That's not traditional. A couple. Part of a surfboard killing you? No.
No.
John,
killing those waves, maybe. Yeah.
It's over. So what would you get this for non-traditional murder weapon? I mean, we did have to dig. I don't want to skew anyone's score.
To dig that hard.
I would say 30.
30.
I'm going to say 60. We got that lawnmower.
Yeah, but nobody actually died from it.
Yeah, but someone's trying to kill someone with that.
No. It's non-traditional attempted murder weapon.
Let's not say non-traditional weapon that is successful at committing a murder.
That's what murder is. I'm also going to give it a 30, giving it a 40, which is 27 points higher than I, Tonya, in non-traditional murder weapon. Okay. Did this movie make you want like a little house by the beach?
That terrifies me.
Having a house by the beach?
Because of global warming?
Actually owning, I think visiting or like going on vacation to one is great, but owning one with everything like climate change and everything, like, no,
right.
Fucking
right.
Forget it.
Or just people walking by, like right in front of your house. No,
right.
I need some isolation.
Need my own yard specifically.
Thank you.
All right. From Toy Soldiers, Angry Phone Hangups.
Angry Phone Hangups. Well, is the iconic shot where Johnny Utah, Bodie slips away and he gets on his back and fires his gun into the air multiple times out of sheer anger. Is that a kind of an angry phone hang up?
I mean,
metaphorically,
suppose there were some like
that phone felt very flip. Sexual to me more than
I got to shoot my load because I'm not.
Yeah, right. He was frustrated and he
consummated it. Yeah, that's a good point. Were there actual phone hang ups?
I don't remember.
Just when he was trying to leave the message.
Right.
Oh, right.
And even if, like, I can't remember if John C. Genly's character had, like, a moment where he, like, right. slams down the phone. And
turn
like,
in your badge.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you billing us for sex wax? I remember when I was a kid, people used to wear a lot of sex wax t-shirts. And I thought, oh, yeah, that's dirty.
How ribald.
How ribald. What is that? I didn't know it was for surfboards. I was like, what is sex? You're just wearing that? What is that? And you couldn't Google back then.
Sex wax like scandalized you.
Scandalized me. But I was intrigued. Also, when I go to a restaurant and there would be like another like part of the, and it said cocktails. And I was like, I thought they just served fruit cocktails in there. Like, oh, that sounds fun. Why can't we go in there ever? Look, I was a dumb kid and you couldn't Google. And I was too shy to ask. So what do you want to give this for angry phone hangups?
20.
20.
Yeah, I'll do 20 as well.
20. I'll also go 20, but I really don't think there were any. Giving it 20, which is 6.67 points higher than The Sound of Music. Pretty good. Okay. Have those movies ever been compared to each other? Probably not.
Okay, A Love Boat.
A Love Boat. You know, for this surprising lack of boats.
Yeah. A lot of planes.
A surfboard.
But not a lot
is
of
a
boats.
Surfboard a form kind of a boat?
A tiny boat.
A tiny boat.
Half a tiny boat.
A personal tiny boat. Because there is like the, you know, they're kind of like flirting with each when she's the like training. Squirting water at him face. At
yeah.
Face and stuff, having fun. But is there, I don't think there's a boat in this movie.
Maybe one of the restaurants on the beach is like kind of half of a boat. Sure, you know how they sure. do like a thing like that.
That was the thing with In the Heights at the end. Spoiler.
Go ahead.
He turns the bodega into like a themed bodega where there's like a makes it look like it's at a beach, like a beach shack inside. And I was like, it looks weird now.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's like goofy now. Like it looked better before. We just now it's like a goofy themed bodega.
That also has, you know, mannequins and fashion in it all the time. And
Vanessa yeah. Fashions, thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome.
Who are you wearing? Vanessa Fashions. These are my favorite parts of In the Heights. Vanessa Fashions.
Have you seen In the Heights yet, Frank?
No, because it's every time it's like at the end of the day, we're like, Jesus Christ, how do we get through this with a kid? And you have the option of either like, putting something on that you don't have to think about.
Sure.
Or like something you can be engaged in. And we're waiting for that moment that we're like, okay, let's watch this. Cause it's in our queue to watch it. Cause we're excited about it, but we just haven't seen it yet.
Sure. It's all right.
Yeah.
I think you'll have a good time.
It's fun.
Is your kid old enough to take to the movies? Would you?
I want to, as soon as they start showing movies, before four, you know, like right now. Right, yeah. Like most of them are like at a time that's like during her bedtime and I can't really go yet, but I want to take her because that was a big part of my youth is my mom taking me to the movies like every weekend pretty much. And nice. Like that's a big deal to me, like going to the movies.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love it. It's like one of my favorite things. So I haven't been back to a theater yet since it opened up, but I'm hoping to like maybe see a new Beverly showing or
got to get on those tickets early.
They sell I know I tried to and they sold out, but yeah, I want to take her to whatever will show during the day. Cause I want to take her. Cause I think she'd enjoy it.
I took my nephew once and he was like three, I think, to see like an Ice Age movie.
Yeah.
And he was like, we were like 40 minutes in and he's like, can we go home? And I said, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it, kid.
She's going to be distracted immediately. So it's like,
yeah. Right. As soon as the popcorn was gone, he's like, I'm bored. Like, great. I'm not enjoying this.
Me too. Let's go.
Yeah.
The people who made this movie aren't enjoying this.
So what do you want to give Point Break for? A Love Boat?
Five.
A five. Tough, but fair.
I mean, I think there's, like they fall in love through water, they fall in love with water, so there's not like a whole lot.
But
of...
my lawnmower wasn't actually used to murder anybody. It was nitpicky. Interesting distinctions. Now
I'm saying, okay, well, thank you for jumping on me, not letting me finish. But I think there's like
leave, so you there's guys just...
yeah. no, I want someone else to see this.
We like having someone watching. It's part of the appeal.
This is our king. This is our spank bank. I think there's, I'll give it a 25.
25 for metaphors. Mm-hmm. I'll give it a six. Giving it a 12 in A Love Boat,
okay.
Which is 32 points lower than The Beastmaster. Had a fairy. All right, Frank, the time has come for you to add a category that we can use to judge how gay Point Break is in every subsequent movie when it gets added to the wheel. Any thoughts?
I don't know. I might need some help here.
That's okay. Well, what do you have like a favorite thing about this or like a favorite scene or favorite like moment in the movie that we haven't like addressed yet?
I mean, my favorite part of the movie is the tacked on ending that they like reshot. They had a shoot later on of like him going to arrest him and just being like, please just give me what I want. And him like kind of having to balance between like, well, I know I'm a cop and I have to do my job and I, you know, work by the rules, but mm-hmm. I also care about you and I know how much this means to you.
And like almost forsaking authority for love.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yeah. I know how much this means and I care about you. So I'm going to go against my authority and let you do this.
Forsaking authority for love.
Fuck authority. Fuck the man. Fuck my man. Something that I'm just doing a wordplay-y version here.
Sure, sure.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm putting the work on you.
No,
you've got a kid.
I think that is like pretty like having to choose, especially for like gay people, that can be especially resonant.
Something like choosing your man over your morals.
Stand By Your Man.
Stand By Your
Man. Not the cops.
Right. Yeah, Stand By Your Man, not the man.
Yeah,
Stand
there
By
you
Your
go.
Man, not
yeah.
the man. Okay.
Stand By Your Man, not the man. I like that.
There you go.
I'm putting the in all caps. So what would you give Point Break in and Stand By Your Man, not the man?
I mean, that ending just like, because he totally breaks the rules, like within it, he gets embedded in it. He becomes part of it. And it's not until it starts to take a turn that he's starting to be like, oh wait, I have to do my job.
It kind of felt like lot of like Hong Kong, like crime thrillers and that.
Yeah.
Where you see like people get embedded in these crimes and it's all about like, you know, passion.
Yeah, I would say 93.
Yeah, that ending to me was so fascinating because you really didn't need it. Like, there was no sense. Like, if they had not had it, you wouldn't have been, like, felt unresolved about anything.
But did you like that he's, like, surfing in the storm and he's probably going to die on his own terms?
Sure, I guess I like that. I'll give it a 95.
95. I mean, that is the entire movie, so I'll give it a, I don't know, I guess if they're just, there's a few other instances, I feel like, of him, like, not playing by the book.
Sure.
And, like, hanging out with these guys, so, I'll give it 100. Why not?
All right.
Giving it a 96. All right, now we are into the bonus categories.
So these categories, as advertised, they're just bonus. So if it doesn't do well in any of these categories, it's not going to work against the score. This is just extra points. So it's from 0 to 10.
So the first one, on a scale of 0 to 10, how would you rate Point Break in musical potential? Think it could be a musical?
I would say 7, because there was that
live
Point
Break live.
The live stage show. So I would say like, but as far as musical potential, you could, I mean, there's enough there, but I think it's like still not like quite like, it's not immediately the thought, you know?
What's tough is just the challenge of making surfing and skydiving feel compelling on stage.
It's called roller skates and fabrics on rolls.
A lot of people have
and people. I'm not saying it's a good musical.
Right. But I think if one were to do it, that is the challenge. Is how do we find a way to make this?
Yeah.
Maybe it's like compelling. In a pool.
That's true. You could do that.
Must be Berkeley.
Pool theater. Happened.
Yeah, definitely. On ice. Why not just set the whole thing on ice? Just to give it that extra
so you
layer.
Can glide. Yeah. Like exactly. You do in the sky. Yeah,
but,
the sky.
But there's a note in the program that says, the ice is water, FYI.
I'll give it an 8.
An 8, wow. Well, there's something to like all the operatic like emotions.
The emotion
of
it,
you know,
it really
feels
works,
very,
you know, in this sort
it's
of
another case of like you have to strip away all the dialogue and it's all like a dance ballet or something.
Yeah.
You know, just project water
get Twyla
with
Tharp.
A video here projector. We like we got it. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Or they wear like a surfboard like around their waist, like held up with like suspenders, that kind of thing.
Sure.
Fun.
That's real fun. Whimsical.
Whimsy. That's what I like about Point Break. The whimsy. I'll give it an 8 too. I think it's I don't know if it'd be yeah, it wouldn't be good, but I'd watch it. Giving it 7.67%, tying it with Best in Show. All right, our next one, Queer Menace. Are there any queer menaces in this movie? I don't think so.
I don't think so.
This is pretty rough.
Because there's no one's like afraid of someone who feels other or different.
Yeah.
Maybe when Keanu's like walking his surfboard through the police department. That's maybe like a pink surfboard.
Maybe.
Is that a queer menace? Is the pink surfboard a queer menace?
His sort of unconventional way of dealing
it's
with this.
Unconventional, non-gender conforming.
I feel like those other guys on the force are probably like very judgmental because they like they're always making fun of Brody and now I forgot. I've seen this movie so many times.
Johnny Utah?
Yeah, Johnny Utah and Busey's character.
Oh, Papa's.
Yeah.
It was surprising that there were no, like, for an action movie from 1991, no gay slurs, not even any, like, gay panic ever.
Yeah.
Which is, like, I feel like shocking almost for a movie of this ilk.
That's something, like, I think I rewatched Bill and Ted or the second one. And you're oh, I forgot.
Right.
This almost, it just.
So did John Mackey when he brought in Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
This very podcast. We're like, oh, you just trimmed that 30 seconds.
Yeah, so what do you want to give this for Queer Menace?
10.
A 10?
This is out of 10.
Oh, sorry. No. Oh, sorry.
That's what you mean. I don't know.
No, two.
A two.
I'm going to have to go zero.
Zero. You know, I'm going to go one for the pink surfboard.
All right.
Giving it a one. All right. Our next category. Character actress makes a big swing. Is Lori Petty a character actress? I don't think so, right? She's more like leading lady. She's always like the lead.
I think of her as a character actress, but she's like who does play lead roles.
Yeah. She does like kind of ride that fine line because she can lead a movie like Tank Girl, but Tank Girl is like, but not like, really. Yeah.
There's something like very like aggressive about her. Not aggressive, wow, like maybe John, like rude, wow, but like very alpha about her. Like she's not, well, a shrinky, yeah, violet. She's not a.
She's not like a Julia Roberts at that time, you know, like it's not exactly. Like
she's never like a romantic, yeah, lead, which is what sadly, yeah, what most women get to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She's in the Free Willy. She was in. Never seen it. Who is she in Free Willy?
Not Willy.
Probably the mom. The,
right. She's been in Orange is the New Black.
Yes. Right.
She was in a show I really liked in high school called Brimstone.
What's Brimstone? Okay.
It's basically like Hellblazer. John Glover plays the devil, and this cop kills his wife's murderer, and he goes to hell. But then all these demons escape from hell, and he sends this cop back to Earth to collect all these like demons that got released, and that's his job is to send them back to hell.
Wow.
But Lori Petty, okay, plays like kind of the love interest in that.
Huh.
It was on Fox. In the late
sounds
90s.
Very edgy Fox. And dark.
Yeah, very Fox.
Yeah, I don't know if she's also even taking a big swing in this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not, there's also not a lot. I mean, like I was looking at the cast list. Lori Petty's fourth, and then
where's Fierce Girl?
You have to go down 16 before you get to the next one, which is not Fierce Girl. That's Miss Deer.
And it doesn't even
Fierce
feel like
Fierce Girl takes a big swing because she is like feral.
Yeah.
Fierce Girl is 27 on the call list of IMDb.
Well, does that make her more of a character actress? She's definitely in the character actress park than lead actress.
She doesn't have a name, so I guess she's still a character.
What is, if you sure click on the IMDb credits, like what other movies has
Fierce, Fierce Girl done? I hope she should be starring in everything.
Gloria Mann, we should say. We stand man. The Cassie Confession, 2018.
Okay.
Point Break is her second. B&B and The Happiest People in New York. Those are her four. That's what all she's right known for, according to IMDb.
Well, you know, she made an impression.
Yeah.
So,
but we don't even know that that's her. Like we don't
who
know if
Fierce,
Fierce
Girl.
Is,
I
don't there's know. No one else. There are other women at that in the, at that house. There's one who answered the door.
But if you had to say one was Fierce,
look, I'm just telling you what is on IMDb. I did not label them.
I'm just
going to
stand
them
over here. I'm just not going to be.
I still think no, Frank, her, listen, that character, the woman, the naked woman, stabbing a cop in the back multiple times and kicking Keanu's ass with such ferocity feels like a big
she's
swing.
She's taking big swings with knives, yeah, in her hands.
Yeah. She's all a right better case than Lori Petty, I think.
Sure.
Yeah, because Lori Petty isn't doing anything that's like out of what she's
the
done
Lori
before
Petty handbook, right?
If anything, yeah, it's like more subdued.
Right. Mm-hmm. She's less quirky than normal.
Yeah.
She's got her edges sanded off.
Yeah.
So yeah, so what do you want to give this character
I'm say
a big swing?
I'm going to say a two.
A two.
I will also say two.
Two. I'm going to go three for Naked Shower Lady.
All righty.
She's great. Give her a spinoff. All right. Next category. Witches. How witchy is this movie?
Oh.
There's something witchy to Bodhi. It's
yeah,
like
there's very
like
yeah spirituality.
Guru. But then using it to like rob banks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Also, there's how expensive is it to like not have a house and like travel? How much money do you need? Because they're saying they're taking this money to like fuel their escapades.
Yeah.
Is like skydiving that expensive?
When you
they're stealing that so much money.
They seem to like have their like renting planes and stuff like that. Yeah. I don't know.
I guess. We didn't see as much of like, what are they using this money for?
Just the trips around the world, man, just to catch those waves.
Yeah.
50-year storm's coming and I will face it.
I would say that there's one lady at the party who was kind of like waving her hands around at them. Like,
that's true. At them. She's yeah like got a wishy energy. That's right.
It's like, I got some Stevie Nicks vibes a little
absolutely
bit.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Yeah. I love a witch.
But if you do, I wouldn't put this on a list of great witch films.
No.
Unless it's pointy hat break. Then it's something.
There you go.
Write it up.
Hey, Busted T's got another shirt idea for you. 100% pure magic? Yeah, so what do you want to give this for witches?
For Bodhi, I guess. I'm going to go up to a 4.
A 4.
I was going to go 3.
3. I'm going to go 4 for Bodhi.
All right.
Giving it a 3.67. Pretty good, but 1 point lower than Anti-Mame. All right, our next category, gay actors playing gay roles. This one's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Not only are there no actual
gay actual,
there's, I don't know if there's anyone actually gay in this movie. No. There was no one I thought to Google, which is the first problem. Usually there's at least someone like, let me check on that guy.
Right.
But didn't happen this time.
Yeah. Again, these are bonus. So if it gets a 0, it's not going to like affect the score negatively.
Yeah, I'm at a 0.
A 0.
I will also go 0.
Yeah, you got to go 0. Well, you know what? Most movies do very poorly in this category. Mm-hmm. Do better, Hollywood. All right, next category. Themes of mothers.
Well, they do sort of bond over tragically losing their parents. It's not exclusively mother, but mother is part of parents.
But also Johnny Utah's parents aren't dead, but maybe just using the thought. He says they're still alive when she asks him, like, are your parents even dead?
Mother Earth.
Mother Earth. That's huge.
Thank you.
Wow.
Yes. Okay.
Frank, pulling it out of the tank. Have you ever called Frank the tank? Did you hate that?
I did hate it. Yeah. In college, but I did have a drinking problem. So whatever.
Oh, is that what it refers to?
Oh.
Yeah. I think it's from Old School, which is a movie I don't love, but like it's
no.
Yeah, it's not a, speaking of definitely not, it didn't even, I don't think it even was aged appropriately in its time either, but it's one of those, yeah, after that came out, there was a lot of Frank the Tanks, and I was like, no,
oh,
thank
shit.
You.
One thing I remember about that movie is like, why is there a love story? No one's watching Old School for the love story. It's the least funny part of the entire movie. Just give us frat hijinks.
Then they were like, let's make Wedding Crashers out of that plot line.
Right. So what do you want to give this for themes of mothers?
Probably 4.
4.
I was going to say maybe 2, but then you brought out the Mother Earth part, and I'm going to go 6.
Wow. 3 pole points for the entire planet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give it a 4. Giving an average of 4.67, which is 4 points higher than I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry. Mm. All right, our next category, pearl clutching. Is anyone who clutches their pearls? I do think John C. McGinley is wound very tight.
He's very tight.
And seems to be very upset by everything they're doing.
They cannot catch a break from that guy.
Yeah.
I think like those people when they're being robbed, there's like, oh my goodness.
And when people bust into your house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the one woman who immediately just starts like hitting them with the broom. And there's also woman who's holding
she's
laundry.
She's like, not this week.
Who comes around and she just goes, and throws up her laundry. I thought that was very funny to me.
Yeah, I don't know. Because even then, it didn't seem like pearl clutching as much because they were more aggressive about it.
That's true.
They were more like, you can't do that. They're
pearl
just like,
throwing.
Angry.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. If they were pearl throwing. Yeah, exactly.
Look what you made me do to my necklace.
So I don't think there wasn't many like, even like with Johnny, like even if he was like, I quit, the cops weren't like, what? You know, like there wasn't any moment like that where he gets to make a big speech about like, you know what, maybe Bodhi is right. And like, there's nobody being like, whoa.
Right. So yeah, what do you want to give this for pearl clutching?
Give it a 1.
A 1.
I'll go 2 for all the bank robberies.
Mm. I'll go 2 for all those people getting their house broken into. A lot of fun. All right, next one. Quips. How quippy is this movie?
Lots.
It's got some quips.
Yeah. I feel like there's a ton of quotes from this movie.
Yes, sometimes unintentional.
Yeah.
Exactly. I am an FBI agent. One I really liked was when Gary Busey says, the air got dirty and the sex got clean.
I wrote that one down too.
So I could eat the ass end of a rhino, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also 100% pure adrenaline.
Yep.
Yeah.
lawyers don't surf. I guess we have an asshole shortage.
Yeah.
There's also someone when like Keanu's trying to surf someone, it just seems like an 80 yard line, but someone says, go back to the valley, man.
Oh yeah.
That was funny.
And he aggressively cuts his cord.
Yeah. If you want the ultimate, you got to pay the ultimate price.
Can we use almost ultimate one more quippy time in that sentence?
Right. Yeah. It's pretty quippy.
Yeah.
I wonder how many people have tattoos of these quotes.
Probably a lot. I'm willing to bet there's probably, if you go to a tattoo shop, I'm sure it's in one of the books.
There's got to be like, a Point Break like, page.
Yeah.
Here you go from our Point Break collection.
Yeah. You go to the Santa Monica Pier, you're going to find one book with that.
Remember when everybody, that's where you had to go to buy a porn star. Remember that brand, porn star t-shirts? You had to go to San Marco Boulevard or Venice, Venice Beach. That's where you bought porn star. Did they have those in Jersey? Do you remember porn star t-shirts?
Porn star t-shirts?
It was just a brand. They would just say porn star, or it'd be like a picture from like a 70s movie with like the words porn star underneath it.
Yep.
Huh. I don't
maybe
remember
it's a West
those
Coast thing.
Maybe.
I mean, I knew that. Oh, yeah. It was in Texas, too.
West of the Mississippi, then.
Yeah. It was like with Big Johnson t-shirts.
I had a Big Johnson t-shirt, if you could imagine. I worked at high school. Could you imagine? Now I'm the one with shocking t-shirts.
Oh, my goodness. Now you're teasing. Yeah, you're scandalizing the youth.
I got in trouble because at that time I wore, there was a skateboard brand called Hookups that had like anime like women on it.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, and it was provocative, and I was told to turn my shirt inside out.
We can't see that. I don't need to see that. Fun. Remember, come back.
Did you do that or did you protest?
I was like, what? What's wrong with? I was that kid.
Just want to have like a conversation. Right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm a free thinker. I'm moving to Austin.
So what do you want to give us? Quips. Yeah.
I would give it a 9.
A 9. Up there with Adam's Family Values.
I'm going to give it a 7.
7. A little more grounded. Let's not get crazy. I'll give it a 7 as well. Giving it a 7.67, which is 1 point higher than The Wizard of Oz. So Bodhi's funnier than The Cowardly Lion, we've learned. Mm-hmm. That's what that numbers don't lie. All right. Finally, second to final, we are into the iconic category.
So these are larger, more broader umbrella categories. So we're back to 0 to 100. You'll see.
All right, okay. So the first one, how would you rate Point Break on a scale of 0 to 100 in homoeroticism?
Oh, 95?
Yeah, I think it's almost like a porn movie where like it's all the relationships are like a built, you know, there's scenes before the sex, but instead of having sex, they surf.
Right, they took out all the sex scenes and put surf scenes. Yeah, definitely that. But I think because there's no actual, like it's all subtext, I'll give it an 80.
An 80. They do refer to Johnny as young, dumb, and full of cum.
Mm-hmm.
And this
so homoerotic.
I mean, referring to a man full of cum, great.
Sure.
Also, they say, well, but I know you, I think Bodhi says this, I know you want me so bad, it's like acid in your mouth.
That's true.
And then Johnny says, you gotta go down. No, I'm the dom, you're the sub. I think it's pretty homoerotic. I'm gonna give it a 90. It's a crackle. And I don't mean the streaming service.
All right.
Giving it an 88.33 in homoeroticism, which is indeed the highest we've had in the last 18 movies. But you know what? I think that's fair. These are my mainstream movies we're talking about. We're not talking about something from timtales.com. Some of the audience knows what I'm talking about. Not everyone does. Let's move on. All right, the next category, over-the-top wardrobe.
It's pretty right at the level.
Yeah.
I mean, Gary, that one t-shirt that Gary Busey was wearing did seem very like it called itself out.
But I for think, the most part. Lori Petty literally wears a towel over the top of her wardrobe, but she's changing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so does something over the top.
Literally
gotcha.
Over the top. Yeah.
All right. So we'll give it a few more points for that. Well
just,
done,
just
Mark.
A few.
Just a couple, a handful. We can be generous.
So we could say 125 this one time.
Oh, interesting. I mean, Mark is willing to break the rules. Okay, sure.
The naked woman. I mean, that's no wardrobe, but it's pretty over the top.
Right? There was something too. You could tell like a woman, like he didn't feel Like the naked, yes, she's clearly naked, but it also didn't, it wasn't like explicit in a, you know, yeah.
It was
like
never framed to look hot. It was just
yeah.
Like,
yeah, there was
the action was happening. It wasn't yeah. like, let's frame this. So it's sort of,
it's a horny, it was definitely not a horny like thing.
Soap coming off of her, you know, whatever.
She yeah. wasn't going, ooh, I'm going to stab
that's
you
what guys
so
like,
bad.
Soap. They had really the soap bubbles on women.
Guys love bubbles.
Yeah. Perfect.
Did you say what you're giving it for over the top wardrobe, Frank?
Oh, out of, was it 100?
0 to 100, yeah.
I would say 30.
30.
No, 20.
20.
I'll go 23.
23. Yeah, it's not that. I'll go 22. Giving an average of 21.67. And the last of the iconic categories, camp factor. How campy is Point Break?
Not intentionally. I mean, like, it's not.
But maybe.
It's a little
you have
bit,
a character like, named Johnny Utah. You got to yeah. know what you're doing.
Yeah. Like Odie, like that. Those are very on the nose.
I like camp a lot, but I don't think it's like, it doesn't feel as campy as some of the other stuff that I would like maybe categorize that as camp.
Like some of the more canon films, perhaps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, The Apple is one of the like,
it sure is canon.
A canon film, which is.
Yeah. yeah. One of the campiest movies ever made.
Yeah. True. So it's like
gotta be top five, I would think.
Absolutely. So I wouldn't put it like in that category. I would say I'm gonna
but it's campier than a Fast and the Furious.
Yes, definitely. So I would say a 50 for me.
50.
I don't know. There's something about it that the fact that they're like they're just like thrill seekers that use it to justify them like robbing banks. There's stuff like it's really on the edge, I think, this movie. And I think it's fun. And I think they do a really good job of sort of living within that and having fun with it without going too crazy or totally getting ungrounded.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of just can't. I mean, like they're surfers who rob banks and go skydiving. Like it's
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
And it's very dramatic. Yeah,
in well done ways.
Well, bank robbers need to have like recreation too. They can't all, what do you think they do? Just go to the library researching safes?
Right, right, right. Which president do they want to be?
Yeah.
I'll go 79.
79. I got a quick list of campy things. Here we go. Anytime the movie title flies towards the screen, the name Johnny Utah, how Gary Busey jumps into a pool, using regular speed sound effects over footage that's in slow motion, a gathering pieces of hair montage telling someone, stay off my wave, being bullied in the ocean, a character named Warchild, any movie where Patrick Swayze beats up a Red Hot Chili Pepper, waking up late and being able to laugh about it, someone losing their shit over newspaper comics, throwing a dog at someone. Surfers are not loyal to the women in their lives. This movie makes a great case that the self-professed spiritual gurus tend to be the biggest pieces of shit. And finally, gnarly deaths.
Wow.
Yeah.
You made a great case.
I think it's pretty campy. We'll give it a 70. But the action isn't campy. All the action is like right. legitimately great and exciting. So it's kind of a little right. bit of the best of both worlds.
I mean, do you guys think that foot chase scene is a little long? And I don't say that as a criticism. I think she knows what she's doing. But it, to me, it just tickled me that it was still going.
I guess yeah. I was never bored by it. You know, I was
I 100% excited. Agree with all of that.
It was like different the whole like it would had like little like pieces within the bigger set piece. You know what I mean? There were like movements yeah. within it.
Has anyone ever played like a Point Break video game? That would be a great level.
I don't think so. John, you need to watch They Live. If you want to see it, have you seen They Live? If you want to see a very long fight scene.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, wild. That's that. Oh, yes. I've heard of it.
I would say this is like that one. That fight scene, I don't know if it's good, but it keeps going on. And it is like just kind of two guys punching themselves in the face over and over.
Yep.
All right. Finally, it got a 66.33 in Camp Factor, which is 1.33 points higher than The Sound of Music. Right. And that had Edelweiss. All right, finally, we're into the crown jewel.
So these categories, we don't rate them. We either all agree it does or it doesn't get the bonus. There's no okay. ranking it. It's just a all or nothing.
All right, the first one, a 15% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality.
While I don't think this movie is homophobic, I don't think it portrays homosexuality. So in yeah. that way, I don't think we can really give it to
yeah.
it.
I, for once, agree with you, John.
For once, finally.
I think that's right. Frank, you cool with that?
I'm definitely cool with that.
All right, man.
Hey, you know,
all right, Bodie.
Yeah. Hey, man, it's all good.
Finally, it's all good in the hood. Hang 10, brah. All right, finally, negative 50% of all the points if this is the movie Boat Trip.
This is not the movie Boat Trip, so it will not lose 50% of its points.
Yeah, it's not.
Very good. Thank you. Everyone chimed in. It's confirmed. It is not Boat Trip. All right, that's it. We're done.
So, Frank, now that we've been through it all, how well do you think you did now? Do you still think your original assessment holds up?
I actually think it's going to be higher than I thought.
Okay. Right, a dash of optimism. I love to see it. All right. I will tell you exactly how it did. Out of a total possible 2,386.43 points, Point Break has scored 1,734.73, giving it a percentage of 72.68, making it the 23rd gayest movie ever. Not as gay as Batman Forever, but gayer than the Beastmaster.
Oh my God. Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Well, Frank, you did it. You brought in we've been having a good run of movies lately.
We sure have.
This was another delightful one.
Frank, just in time as my toddler is screaming in the background.
Perfect.
Well, maybe they think it deserves the 50% bonus for a positive portrayal of homosexuality. Is there anything you'd like to plug, promote, or shill for at this time?
You could visit me on the socials at Frank Garcia Hale. That's H-E-J-L. That's on Instagram and Twitter. I wrote for a upcoming talk show hosted by Randall Park. It's going to be 6 episodes. It's on Funny or Die and Roku. Roku exclusive.
Ooh, buzz.
That'll be coming out in July. And yeah, you can check out my other my two podcasts. One is the Canon Canon, which John has been on. Mark, we're gonna have to get you on. It's where we talk about the infamous 80s film company Canon Films, which you had covered the Apple, which is part of that. There's a lot of Chuck Norris's and Charles Bronson's in there.
Is Ninja 3 canon?
Yes, Ninja 3 the Domination.
Ninja 3
absolutely
is amazing.
So we talk about these movies with kind of the lens of now as well. Like, we know that it's of its time, and there's definitely a fan base for it that maybe doesn't like our podcast because we do look at it through that lens.
They don't universally adore this piece of shit.
Right. I mean, we love it because that we grew up with it, but we do talk about it in a rational way as people living now. I also host a podcast called The Smashing Pumpcast, where we talk about the Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh, okay. Today Heard is the greatest day I've ever known.
Yeah. So I have those two podcasts. And yeah, as you said earlier, Scare Package on Shudder, co-wrote and co-starring that with Noah Segan, who you might know from Knives Out, a lot of Rian Johnson stuff. That's where you can check me out.
Great. That's everyone, awesome. Check all of that out. Thank you so much, Frank. Delightful guest.
Yeah, thank you so much.
So, yes, if you have any thoughts or questions, you can email us at twooldqueens. That's twooldqueens@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought, what we got wrong.
Or you can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at twooldqueens, twooldqueens. Follow me on Letterboxd, where I maintain the current movie ranking.
Yes, and if you have a moment, if you could go over to iTunes and rate, give us 5 stars and give us a little review. It really helps the algorithm, helps people find our show, and we really appreciate that. Some other ways you can support the show is we have some merch. If you go over to TeePublic and search for Tool Queens, we've got a lot of great stuff that you can buy for yourself and for your loved ones. A tote, a onesie, t-shirts, hoodies of all sizes and colors. And a percentage of all the proceeds go to the Okra Project. And we also have a Patreon for just $5 a month. You get an extra episode of this fun show where we do... go through different movies and franchises and other fun projects. And that's it.
We'll see you next time. Do we know the movie for next time? No.
Not yet.
But
follow
we'll
us on the socials. You'll find out.
Just follow us on the socials.
Yeah, guys.
All right. We'll see you next time. Stay safe, everybody. Goodbye.
Now it's time for credits. We got music by Danny Cohen.
Artwork by Conrad Shin.
And special thanks to Alex Arche and Mike Rennie.
Bye.
We didn't get that right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free
or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.